I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With four episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. On this Thirsty Thursday in Baltimore, Ed Norris likes to call Thursdays, of course.
Friday, babe.
Yeah, babe.
Yeah, babe. How you doing over there?
Pain.
Yeah, I feel bad, Ed, because Rob was in some pain yesterday, dental pain, and I know he doesn't feel comfortable. He's like, you know, you don't. Feels like your face is swelling.
It is swollen.
Yeah, and he was just telling me he's just like not comfortable. And I said, "Man, why are you not comfortable?" I said, "You look like a movie star. It's a shame that movie star is Sloth from Goonies, but he does look like a movie star."
Oh.
Sorry, man. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I can't even put up the middle finger with these damn cameras.
You can. I did it by accident the other day. Somebody sure walked by and gave me the finger, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then Rob's pointing and said, camera's right there, man. Oh. Yeah.
Kind of changes your life a little bit when you're on camera.
Sometimes you forget.
You know, before the series began, Jeremy, you and I were talking. I said, I think the Dodgers win, but if the Blue Jays win, it's going to be because Vlad is the MVP.
Vlad's just been...
He's on one, man.
He's been otherworldly this entire postseason. They said the Blue Jays have hit 5 more home runs than any other team. And again, everybody's talking about Shohei, and justifiably so. It's the greatest baseball player we've seen. Pitching, hitting, having a 10-strikeout, 3-homer game, everybody's going to bring it up. Vlad's been a better hitter in the postseason.
Oh, yeah. He has been. And I said to you earlier, I think the dangerous thing about it is sometimes when guys do things like this that they're capable of doing, which he is... They find themselves. Sometimes guys play out of their mind. I mean, but sometimes guys find themselves in moments like this. I think that's his case. I think that's the case here. I don't think he returns. I think he's going to be this dude.
I'm not saying
400 and 1,200 OPS, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Another level good.
No, I'm kind of glad that this is actually happening because there was the thought process from a lot of people that he had kind of fizzled his way out of the upper echelon of players and become just kind of a good player. Like, Vlad's a guy that could hit you 50 home runs.
He can.
But if he just hit 30 home runs every year, he would be a really good player.
Right.
But he has that ability to have the same thing his dad did. You know, you watch his dad, he was going to give you 30-some home runs every year, and that's not even in necessarily the home run era as things were going, right. You know?
And I think that's what the scary part about it is, in my opinion.
Can you explain to me how Trey Savage is so good? He's got, like, no starts in the majors.
Well, more postseason starts than he does regular season. Yeah.
And they said he got paid something like $53,000 to pitch so far.
Yeah. He started 3 games this year.
Well, this is what you talk about when somebody says, everybody, when you have a farm system and you hear who your number one pitching prospect is, right? Everybody's like, oh, you expect that guy to come up and kind of do what Trey Savage is doing. He has gone to every level for short periods of time and dominated.
Yeah.
Like, they put him in, he's like, oh, man, this guy does not belong in single A. Let's move him to double. Oh, my God. Yeah. Let's get him the triple. Can he get to the majors? Remember,
he's 22.
It's ridiculous. And
you got to give credit to the Blue Jays for having the balls not only put this down the postseason roster, but to put them in the rotation.
In that situation, too. Like,
yeah.
Well, and if they'd have lost on Tuesday night, the story was that they were going to pitch Gosman on short rest. And it's like, why? This guy might even be better.
Right now.
Like, and again, I didn't expect him to go deep in the game. Neither did Vegas. But he has this type of ability to just dominate. Like K's, keeping low pitch counts throughout the innings, even with strikeouts. He just comes in and he attacks. Unlike a lot of rookie pitchers that come up and they nibble.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to point this out. You remember that game where Ohtani got on base 9 times?
Yes.
Yeah, Vlad Guerrero's OPS is still higher. It's still higher Ohtani's OPS is 1.1. Vlad's is 1.337.
Jesus, God.
I wonder if people know how ridiculous that number is.
I think he's past the point of no return, my friend.
And it is the others too, because with what happened to Springer, I mean, that sucks, the injury to him. But like seeing this, they've been kind of doing this platoon with Schneider, the guy that hit the home run last night that batted leadoff for him. Mm-hmm. It was funny. Some Blue Jays fan is like, oh yeah, Schneider leading off. That's a choice. And then he saw the tweet after the game and he goes, I guess it was the right one.
I love when they come back with the heat. Did that guy come back after he hit the home run and say something, you know?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Snyder got 1-for-3 with a home run and a walk.
He started off.
Pipe down. Yeah. And a great play in the outfield.
Yep.
He banged his head on
the... He's kind of been rotating with Barger, right? Lefty-righty.
Yeah.
And the story was at the beginning of the series, I don't know if you guys saw this, Barger's been sleeping on his couch.
I didn't see that, no.
And so Barger, after he hits the home run in game one, has since been still sleeping on his couch. it was just supposed to be like a one-night thing. I think something was going on.
I wouldn't break
sleeping
that
on,
either.
Sleeping on Snyder's couch?
Yeah. Okay. It's just funny, man. Like, you don't understand the story of some of these guys where they're moving, figuring things out. Yeah. This is a long season. You don't get any downtime, really. You really need somebody else to do all that work for you.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Can you imagine sleeping on the couch for a World Series?
Must be comfortable.
It's a very nice couch.
It must be. Must be, man. Oh, man. What'd you guys do yesterday?
I can talk about this. You know, I've been talking about my depression. I had my first TMS session. Mm-hmm. Which I hope Brett's listening as he's driving in. We had somebody, once I started talking about my story and my suicide attempt from a couple years ago, I had people sending different ideas. I've literally tried all of these different, I went through a ketamine treatment. Right. So I started this TMS, and it's really hard to explain to people, but it's like a tapping, and they send electric impulses. Or
magnetic.
Is it magnetic? Okay, mm-hmm. So you know better than I do. They explained it to me yesterday, yeah. And I still don't understand it. But like I went through this whole mapping thing.
Yeah.
And it's weird. They're like, you'd feel this tap on your head, and then one of my fingers would move on my right hand.
That's how they tell.
Yeah.
Your thumbs move.
Yeah. Thumbs.
Right? And then, how to tell what?
They want to get
that
to
they're
your
in
thumb.
The right spot.
Yep. Okay.
Your brain is numbered.
Yep.
And they have to find.
And it's color coded on this hat that they put you in, yes. So it helps them.
So when they put these magnetic where they can't put the electrodes or whatever near your head, they put them close, right? Mm-hmm. So yep. They don't burn. And it's like close to your head, but not touching it. And then they look for that section of the brain that they believe depression is generated. And they know when your thumbs or your fingers, usually your thumbs start to twitch.
But that's the funny thing. Yeah. So as they're going through it, they're like, nope, ring finger. Nope. All right, thumb. All right, let's go up one and see if this one's stronger. So they're doing the whole mapping out process. And I go through like a 19-minute treatment. And like I said, man, I'm curious. I'm trying everything to see what works. But I have to do 36 treatments. And
it's supposed to be successful.
It's odd that you're saying all of this stuff, and there are people out there who still think depression is
just,
not real.
Just cheer up.
Exactly.
Well, you and I have a mutual friend that said to me, why are you depressed? You have such a great life. You have a beautiful wife. You have this great job that you enjoy doing, wonderful kids. And I said, well, that should tell you something, that I still feel sad or down with all that going on.
Was Chris Cornell successful? Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
I don't know.
Robin Williams?
I know
all these guys.
So hard for people to understand this.
I know it's real, and again, if I don't know if I had turned around and looked at myself in
the
mirror.
But that guy hates his own life, so that's why he.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, your life. That was one of those. Your life is better than mine.
And I tried telling people too. There's nothing wrong with being either one. There's nothing wrong with being sad. I mean, it happens. But when you're depressed, you're sad for no reason. Like there's really nothing that's doing it. And then even worse than that, when you do have something that brings you down. It's just like putting more weight on your shoulders.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We'll talk more World Series at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, what are you expecting out of Lamar tonight for his first game back in over a month? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season, and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. with 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Extremely excited. Can't wait to touch the grass with my guys, man. Been a while.
Lamar Jackson going home. What is it, like 30 miles from where they're playing football at tonight, where he grew up? He returns, first time he's played in over a month, as the Baltimore Ravens take on the Miami Dolphins tonight. Ed Norris, What are your expectations of Lamar tonight?
I expect him to make a huge difference in this team. I just, you know, I don't know if I'm going to predict his personal stats, but I think the fact he's back makes a tremendous difference in how the Dolphins view the team, how they prepare. You got the most dangerous mesh point in football between him and Derrick Henry. Ricard's back, Henry's back, Lamar's back. Everyone's healthy and playing tonight. I think, and Lamar is, you know, he's it. He is. You know, I love it. He's the straw that stirs the drink. So I expect the offense to be really on point tonight and score quite a few points.
I think Lamar puts his cape on tonight, Jeremy.
Well, I think
it has been unbelievable. If you got any prop bets on Lamar, take them.
See, what I think happens tonight is everybody's thinking like you, and I'm not disagreeing that those prop bets don't hit, but I think this is Derrick Henry's night, and it's his night because Lamar is back. I honestly think they could take their first drive and not throw the football, and you could see the impact of Lamar being back. That's how good that guy is, it's the impact he has on the team. It's like kind of what we talked about with the speed of Keaton Mitchell on the field, the fear of having Derrick Henry in the backfield down on the goal line, even if you're not giving him the ball, they have to respect the fact that he's there. And I feel like when Lamar's there, it starts to open up more lanes.
You're saying because Lamar's back, the Dolphins are afraid of the pass.
No, not necessarily. I'm saying because of Lamar's back, it's going to open up more running lanes. And now the Dolphins have to go to a defense where they're going to have a quarterback spy, which you don't have to do with Tyler Huntley or even Cooper Pass or Cooper Rush, whatever his name is. And then now when you bring him in, you see the impact he has just on the running game without doing anything.
So he opens up the run lane because you have to play everything. Because I think when Lamar's back, you have to worry about the pass big time.
Oh, there's no question about
and
that.
And that's one of the things, and I know he's going to be on the show later. That would be my
Lamar's
biggest.
Lamar's on the show?
No, Preston. That would be the biggest pushback that I have on Preston's suggestion that you trade Lamar now because he's 8 years into the league. You are suggesting that his legs are his most valuable thing when he's the all-time leader in passer rating. He's the all-time leader in passer rating. Lamar Jackson could beat you with his arm. To suggest that his legs are gone and that's why you should look to trade him now, to me, is a disrespect to the man's ability to throw the football. Because I think Lamar Jackson can beat you without running the football.
I think what Lamar Jackson is kind of turning into, and it's going to be a little bit more than that, is kind of what Pat Mahomes is. Where it's like, I will run when I have to. Look at this year and what's been going on. Mm-hmm. Go look at Pat Mahomes' rushing yards this year and how they're up because they didn't have those explosive players on the outside. I do what I have to do to win. And that's how he expands his career. And yeah, I don't think this is a whole thing about his legs. He's always going to have the ability to run. Yeah. He's not going to be as fast as he once was as he starts getting older. But he's still going to have the opportunity to make guys miss. And the threat of it is what you have to respect. The same thing like talking to Ken McCusick. He's like, I don't like Zay Flowers doing the gadget plays.
Me
because
either.
When he's running his routes, the safety has to respect him.
I've been saying that for years. Yeah. I hate those plays. When Zay Flowers, Ed, has under 10 yards of reception in a game, you're not doing it right. You're doing something wrong. He's a 15-plus yards of reception guy. And if he doesn't have that, something is wrong with your offense.
But the
Yes, that's what I can say. I agree with both of you. I don't like when we do it either because his strength is just opening up the field for everybody else.
But it's the impact he has even when he's not getting the ball. Mm-hmm. And so when you're sending him down the field, let's say they're in man. You're telling me a safety's not peeking over there and watching what's going on? That he's not the one receiver that gets extra attention because of his ability to break one? So it's the same thing of Derrick Henry in the backfield. You don't have to give him the ball for him to have an impact on that play. No.
Sending Zay Flowers short, keeping him around the line of scrimmage is the equivalent of letting your power hit a bunt. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll let him take first base because I don't want to hit him 450. 450 feet. You know, that's the same thing with Zay. Okay, give him the ball around the line of scrimmage. We'll take that. Because now we have him in front of us. We don't have to worry about him getting behind us. That's when he does the most damage, getting behind us. I think Lamar Jackson tears it up. And I agree with you, Jeremy. I mean, I see where you're going by him being there.
It's his presence.
His presence. But I think he puts his cape on tonight. I do. He's home. He's home. Rested.
Well, this is why I'm telling everybody, when you make your daily fantasy lineup, if you're playing a single game, you got to have one of them with Derrick Henry as the captain and one with Lamar as the captain, because one of those two is having a night. It's just happening. And I'm sorry, there's going to be a ton of points scored tonight. And as I've told everybody to listen to me, bet Derrick Henry over rushing yards, bet Isaiah Likely over receiving yards. I think Likely gets in the end zone, too.
You know what's odd? One team is 2-5, one team is 2-6. One team is still favored to win his division, the other team predicted to finish in last place.
That tells you it's a lot about this division, though.
It's just odd, man. I saw yesterday three different shows that had odds about who wins the AFC North. Three different. And each one of them had the Ravens at 2-5, the favorites to win the AFC North.
I know, we talked about that last night.
What the hell are you?
Yeah,
dude.
Everyone's got them.
At 2-5.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all see the schedule. They all see that you're playing the teams that you need to beat to get there. And then they all also see that the teams that you need to beat to get there that are in your division aren't very good. I mean, I've been saying this about the Steelers since the beginning of the year, where it's like there's just something missing. Their defense does not get the stops that they need. Well, they used to.
When I said I don't believe him, the guy called in and called me a homer.
Yeah, well,
by the way, he was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But, you know, it's not homerism. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is down to – I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the guy that says, go out and win me a game. He's not the guy.
He's a – at this point of his career, he's a manager of the game plus.
Yes.
He can make a play every once in a while.
What's the plus?
The plus is that he can make a – to me, a manager of the game is going to come in and hand the ball off and throw when he has to. Aaron Rodgers is better than that. He can make a play every now and then. He can still read a defense and see, hey, he's too far off – give that little wink like you used to to Devontae Adams, and here's a pass off the line to DK Metcalf that goes for, you know, 15 yards. I think he's plus. It's like I talked about Tyler Huntley. People were going this past week, he managed the game really well. He did, but he also made plays. You can't add in 50-some yards rushing and get some of those third-down conversions and not give him credit for making plays.
Huntley had a game of his life.
We all acknowledge that the game now is a passing game. And you're talking about Zay's yards per catch and why are the all-time leaders in yards per reception like old-timers?
Oh, you're saying why are the all-time leaders in yards per reception?
Yeah.
Because back then, every pass was a deep pass.
Yeah.
So the A-dot, their average depth of target is... Wait, like, if you go back and look at Lynn Swann's career...
Third down. Don't
forget Lynn Swann.
Was Lynn Swann catching, you know, 8-yard passes?
You know who the all-time leader is?
Who?
Homer Jones.
Yeah.
New York
Giants.
You
saw him play, yeah.
I did see him play.
1904.
He played in the 60s and 70s.
Oh,
yeah, 22.3 yards a catch. Bob Hayes, 20 yards a catch. Paul Warfield, 20 yards a catch. These guys are the all-time leaders.
I can't believe he didn't play baseball.
Because every...
What?
Homer Jones.
Yeah. They had good names on that team. They also had Spider Lockhart.
Oh, because every pass was passing situations. They weren't throwing the ball on first
down. Observation.
I used to argue with Scott, Don Hutson being the greatest receiver all time because he was the first big one. And it's like, I think back then the guys were going, what's Donnie doing? He's running down the field. Oh my God, they're throwing the ball. Is that allowed? I don't think they knew it was even allowed when he was doing it.
We give out shovels at 7:15. But on the other side, how much of an impact do you think tonight's game will have on the Ravens' decision in the trade market over the weekend? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. On this beautiful, beautiful rainy day. I call it beautiful because Ed loves the rain.
I love the rain. I'm sorry.
I know you
I was just going to say, what kind of sociopath likes this? But now I know.
That guy right there.
Sick son of a bitch. Go outside in this gloomy ass stuff and smile.
Yeah.
So Tuesday... At 4 o'clock, that's the trade deadline for the National Football League. What kind of impact does tonight's game have on that trade deadline for the Ravens?
I might be like over-evaluating this, but the fact they're
probably
in Miami.
21 Savage.
Yeah.
A lot.
The fact that they're in Miami, and Miami's a team that's going to be selling. Is it better? Like in baseball, I always thought, hey, you got a series with someone. Are the general manager going to get together
Toronto
and chat?
Toronto and the Orioles.
Yeah.
They traded between the doubleheader.
Yep. Is that an advantage? I do think the fact that now they don't have to focus on like football operations, meaning day-to-day stuff as far as the team goes, and now you can look at the future of the team and have a few extra days while teams are getting ready for games
on Sunday.
So
what you're telling me is if the Ravens are up 28-3 at the half, someone could change teams.
Bradley Chubb's going to change teams at halftime. Yeah.
The trade is executed at halftime.
But dude, I mean, I think the Ravens are going to win pretty substantially, I believe.
Tonight?
Tonight. If they didn't know, that would change things a lot.
I think so.
Tremendously, I think.
And I think the Ravens win big tonight, too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but the Dolphins just did the haka.
Yeah, what kind of mess is that? How the haka has influenced their turnaround? What turnaround?
They just won a game.
Yeah.
Where was the turnaround?
They beat the Falcons, and nobody knows who the hell they are.
They won a game.
It'd be like Kirk Cousins, game. Who didn't like that. They didn't have the regular off.
I enjoy the haka. I watch it on my phone when I'm bored.
It's
and I think
great.
It's fascinating. But that's so stupid. It's like it turned the team around.
Is that what the All Blacks do?
Yes.
Yeah. I like it too.
Yeah.
What? Just all of them?
All Blacks.
You guys do the haka? Like everyone?
No, it's the name of the team.
Oh, my bad. I knew that. no, but like.
Well, that's the reason I like the name of the team. All Blacks.
Hey, how come all these guys are Australian? What the hell? Is that an aberration? Anyway.
Right from New Zealand.
Shut up, Joe. Yeah, and you too. You guys got to whisper in my ear. It's New Zealand. Shut up. Same area, jackass.
It's like calling an American a Canadian.
It's like, no. It's
same
like,
area.
It's like calling Abingdon, Baltimore. That's what it is. Hey, where are you from? Baltimore. I thought you grew up in Hartford County. Shut up. No. I forgot what I was talking about.
True story. When I was at Liberty, my buddy, who was a couple of years ahead of me, he told everybody he was from Baltimore. So one day he was sitting there, somebody said, "You got both from Baltimore?" I said, "He's not from Baltimore." And he looked at me and said, "Yeah, I am." So you're from Randallstown. I said, "You're not from Baltimore."
I love when people say they're from New York. Yeah, I'm from New York City. And they're from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, come on, not even the same state.
But where I live, I can see New York. It's right there.
Right.
But, no, but my question was going to be about them doing the haka. Did they not do the haka the entire time and then they did it before the Falcons game?
They won.
Or did they do it after the Falcons game? Because you can't turn your season around after something already happened and then you did it.
Yeah. That's like the guy said when who hit the walk-off home run for the when Freddie Freeman hit the walk-off, he listened to him on the radio. I said to my girlfriend, he's about to walk this thing off. Well, how many times have you said that and it didn't happen?
Yeah. We ain't gonna bring those up.
How many times has it not happened? 410-583-1057 is the number.
Was it Trippy that called in earlier this year and said, "I told y'all the Orioles weren't gonna make the postseason," and then I was like, "Yeah, but you also said these three other things that didn't happen. You want to talk about those too?"
No,
we all make mistakes. We're all gonna make bad predictions, especially me, because it's all I do is make predictions. It's gonna happen.
Let's go to my man Larry in East Baltimore. What's up, Larry?
How you doing?
Good. Well,
how
are you, man?
Do you think the Ravens will trade Crosby for number one, Cooper Rush and Alexander?
Aren't they saying they won't trade Crosby?
Max Crosby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't they saying they won't trade him?
They said they didn't want to.
Yeah. They're saying they won't.
I give them a number one, a number two, and a Zaire Alexander, whatever his name, and Cooper Rush.
Well, Cooper Rush and Zaire are the throw-ins? Because they don't want them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
they said if you're throwing in Cooper Rush, you're going to have to throw in a couple more draft picks to go along with him.
Yeah. I mean, you got Max Crosby on one hand, you have Cooper Rush, Zaire Alexander on the other.
That reminds me of the overused 70s joke by all comedians. Take my wife.
Please,
yeah. It's way overused. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. A little bit later, we have Over Under for you, one of my favorite segments. Shovel, going to take a look at last night's World Series game that has Toronto one game away from World Series championship, the third in franchise history, and they're going back home to try to do that. Yeah, going to hurt my heart if they do it.
Kind of looking that way.
Kind of looking that way, my friend.
Yeah.
Let's go down to Baltimore. He's not from Baltimore either. Hey, Rashawn. What's up, Rashawn?
Oh, I got to hear this.
I've been waiting
for this call all morning.
What state are you in?
Man, we're in Baltimore.
State of depression.
Man. Oh,
yeah,
no.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, they didn't quite make it.
All because of Trippy, man.
What?
You know?
What happened?
Like, we run in the car, man. It was last minute. He's like, "Man, we're going to go down. We're going to drive down Miami for the game." I'm like, "I'm with it." He's like, "I know a spot." Yeah.
I was here yesterday.
You're driving to Miami?
I forgot you don't know.
He missed all this. Oh, this was hilarious.
Why on earth would you drive to Miami?
Oh, please.
In a rental car.
Listen to Tripp. He's like, man, because Tripp would like to drive. Like, he'd drive. He'd rather drive than fly. You know, plus the last minute, the flights was high. So we get to the rental car, nice Mustang, because he's like, man, you know, we're going to be on South Beach, man. We can drop the top, you know, clock the holes and everything, man. You know, so I'm like, all right, man. We get there, like, yo, the check engine light is on. I'm like, yo, I don't think it's a good idea to drive down there with a check engine light. He's like, man, it probably ain't nothing serious. It's probably just a sensor. You know, they come on my car all the time and all that. You know, I'm like, nah, let's go back to the spot. Went back to the spot. They say, listen, only that we can give y'all, it's like some Nissan Versa they tried to give us. But he's like, all right, well, you want to take some money off, right? We're like, nah, that's the price. Like, man, we ain't driving to Miami on Nissan Versa on South Beach.
Oh, God.
I'm like, man, like, what kind of rinky thing place is this? Mind you, it's a spot. It's called Rent-A-Wreck. You know, they only take cash.
We can't clock hose too in a Nissan Versa. What the hell, man?
So I'm like, man, I'm like, listen, man, you had to take all work for the day. I'm like, you know what, man? Let's just debt this, man. I'm already going to Minnesota next week. I can save some money and everything, man. So, hey, man, like, let's just try this another time.
Hey, wait. You went to a place called Rent-A-Wreck and were surprised the check engine light was on?
No, but still. they guarantee they vehicles, though.
It's called Rent-A-Wreck.
You two should have applied. You guys are Rent-A-Wrecks.
Now, you and Trippy driving to Miami together and back.
Yeah.
And back.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It was going to be a wild trip, man.
The male version of Thelma and Louise.
Bruh.
That's exactly what I said yesterday. Yeah,
the male version of it. So,
I said that to our boss. I was like, these two cats calling in. Because he calls in, and we're like, Rashawn. And you hear somebody talking, and all of a sudden he says something, and you hear Trippy start talking. It's like, what are you two doing together? And he told us.
Yeah, man.
Driving
to
Miami.
It was a wild day, man. I ain't never planning up with Trippy again, man. You know, it's just, I stick to Southwest Airlines.
I just can't. You driving long distance just does not.
How the hell did it work out that Dustin was the smartest one of all three of you?
Exactly. Dustin, like I told you, it was a bad idea, man. That's why I stay home. Like I told you, something wasn't right about this, you know, but he stayed home because of some girl he met.
You missed this yesterday. We got caught by surprise. We couldn't stop laughing. People stopped me yesterday. I'm not joking. More than one. And said they couldn't stop laughing during that phone call. It was hilarious.
Rashawn, you got to stay in your lane, man. You're not a long-distance driver.
I know, man. No way at all, man. Trippy was going to do most of the driving. Listen, it was a 16-hour drive.
I know.
He said he was going to do like 10. I was like, all right, you do 10, I do 6. You know, so, but yeah, we was going to have a top down on South Beach, 80-degree weather, man. Could you imagine?
You'd have been asleep.
You done messed up, though. If you'd let him drive the first 10, you wouldn't have driven the car with the check engine light on because you'd have been stuck all the way down there and had to driven the last 6 hours anyway. See? Just let him drive first.
We're talking World Series at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, if the defense has another showing, are you willing to say they've turned the corner? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season, and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The Ravens' defense has turned it around a bit, even in the loss to the Los Angeles Rams, which they only gave up 17 points, which is pretty impressive against that Rams squad. If they have another good performance tonight, Ed, is it safe to say that they've turned the corner? Or are the Dolphins a team that's, you know, you can really give that status to?
No, I think if they put on a performance like they did, even in game one, I mean, they were dominating the Bills. I just think it's not so much turn the corner as they're healthy again. I just think the Ravens are a really talented team. They got walloped by the injury bug. And, I mean, you can't recover from that, man. It was a different team. It wasn't the you know, they had the uniforms on, but I didn't know any of the names or the numbers. And it was just different players. I just think now you got the team back, and this is a team that should dominate most football teams.
Jeremy, you think it's a good performance is that? Turn it around?
Yeah, look, I think they're better just clearly getting healthy, but I also think at that point in time, there were some changes they made. And again, they're going to get better in the run game. I just don't know if this team's going to have the pass rush that they want or that they need to win in the postseason without making a trade. I mean, you got to scheme it up and do some other things and try some things out, I guess. But going back to the Rams game, yeah, you want to tip your cap, but the Rams left a lot out there. And I'm not trying to say that the Ravens, like going for it on fourth down when you should have just kicked the field goal to make it a 3-score game. I mean, you're leaving points on the board.
Hard for me to say they turned it around. I mean, the Miami Dolphins right now are a troubled team.
Mm-hmm.
So you take advantage of that situation, but they're a troubled team. They scored 6 points against the Cleveland Browns. They scored 24 against the Panthers. Scored 21 against the Jets. I think that they're an offense that right now doesn't really have a real consistent strategy. They don't play well together all the time. I would love for them to go down there and take advantage of it, but to me, they turn it around when they do it again and do it again. Consistency is the key, not patches here and there. I think they're on a good path. I love the fact that they took up for the defensive coordinator when everybody thought he should be gone. That showed me something. That told me something. Because it's easy to take those anonymous shots at that moment. And nobody took those anonymous shots against Zach Orr. That tells me something. Regardless of what I think about Orr, the fact that he had people publicly supporting him and no one behind closed doors or at least going to the media anonymously against him, that tells me a lot about him. They believe in him. If they believe in him, then fine. Just get it done. Joaquin in Baltimore. What's up, Joaquin?
Hey, how y'all doing today, man?
Doing good. Well. How are you, man?
I'm trying to drive in this rain and not laugh at y'all, man. It's so funny, man. I'm telling y'all. But anyway, I'm looking at how much they gave up over the last two games, and I do see a change. But now we got to play complementary football. I think Pat Ricard is going to help our defense and keep us on the field a little bit more. So that'll help our defense, and we'll see the changes. But yeah, I think we're on the right track.
Thanks a lot, Joaquin. Appreciate it. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. on the right path. I just want to see him keep doing it. Be consistent. I'm not saying they can't have a bad game for the last 10 games of the season, but consistency. And we haven't really seen that against or for the Baltimore Ravens defense lately. Emil on the road. What's up, Emil?
Hey, what's going on? I'm doing the same thing. Grew up my daughter's school in this treacherous rain.
Man, it took me 58 minutes to get to work on what's normally a 30-minute ride.
I took a nap. Yeah, I hope I don't go through all that. Hey, a quick question. When is the trade deadline?
Next Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
Is there anybody in quality for pass rush that's out there that's worth getting?
Well, for a trade, it's going to be worth getting. I mean, if you talk about on the street, no. But for a trade, it's going to have to be somebody that's worth it.
Yeah, so what you're acquiring, look, you're going to find teams that have expiring contracts that would like to move a guy. You're going to have teams that have a player with a bad contract that might have a couple years left on it, but a team might be willing to take that on to get the pass rusher, new environment, new place, all that stuff.
And bad contracts are relative. They may be bad, and I'm not saying this guy, but the Cleveland Browns got a pass rusher and Myles Garrett, who, for them, that's a bad contract.
Yeah.
It might not be a bad contract for another team that's a contender. And Emil, I'm not saying that's who they're going after. But what I'm saying is bad contracts are all relative to the team.
You heard it here first. He's coming to town. Myles Garrett to the Ravens. Thanks, Rob. Tell your friends that Rob said it.
Can you imagine?
not going to happen.
No.
They would never trade that
no
guy.
No team in the National Football League can have Lamar Jackson on one side of the ball and Myles Garrett on the other. It's
the best offensive and best defensive players in the league.
It's written in the NFL bylaws.
I think so.
They can't do it.
They would never do that.
NFL bylaws say you can't do that. Man, I got myself excited.
I can't.
You think any pass rushers, though, the Ravens are going after?
I mean,
premier ones?
I mean, I
don't see why the Raiders would not trade Max Crosby. I'm hoping the Raiders are saying that's one of those things, we're not going to trade him, and that makes people come come strong at him. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. that could be it, but it also could be like, hey, I like our pass rusher. We're going to trade Max Crosby. How close do we think we are to getting back into this? And once we trade Max Crosby, we're going to be looking for, I don't know, a guy similar to Max Crosby. Like the Cowboys, after they lose their first game, Jerry Jones was like, we got to get one of those pass rushers. What? You just traded the one. What are you talking about?
But do you really think, I mean, if the Raiders are honest with themselves, trading Max Crosby helps them get better.
It really does, and if they
what's visions of
love
grandeur,
to see him
right?
come to the Ravens, obviously, and it's not in the division, it's not even in the, it's not even close. The other side of the country.
They ain't fishing in the same pond.
Yeah, you know? I mean, they're just you know, it'd be great because they're not going anywhere. They're not going to win that division. They're probably going to finish last. It could actually help themselves. Safe.
So
that's pretty safe. Yeah. Everybody in that division has either 6 or 5 wins. They have 5 losses.
Yeah, they're just the worst team in the division.
You got Draymond Jones from the Titans, which is a name that I know a lot of fans aren't going to know. Calais Campbell, you know that name, but he's 18 years.
No.
Bringing him in.
No.
Kevin Zeitler's out there as far as a guard. I just bring that up because people bring that name
up. I like to get him back. I never wanted him to leave.
You got Jalen Phillips down with the Dolphins and Trey Hendrickson, which the Bengals would never trade him here.
No.
Those are the biggest names. Bradley Chubb's name's out there. Will the Giants move one of their guys?
Well, that's what I was thinking about. Like
Bradley Chubb or the Giants?
Everybody brings up the Giants, but again.
Thibodeau was out, you know,
But if the Giants feel like they found their quarterback and they like some of the pieces, do you move your pass rusher?
I think the Giants trading a premier pass rusher would be more foolish than the Raiders. 410-583-1057. We're giving out shovels at 7:15, but on the other side, World Series Game 5 recap. Thank God it didn't last as long as one a couple of nights ago, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season, and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.